said, I was glad when they told me that we should go to the house of God. So with Jesus' joy in our hands, in our hearts rather, please let's put our hands together for Pastor Kenny as he comes to share the word of God with us.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, let's greet ourselves. Let's go around and greet ourselves. So go around. Everyone should go around and show their greeting yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is it very cold? Okay, I think it's from this part. Let's reduce. Maybe we can turn off one of the ACs. Hallelujah. I mean, can we come here? Can we ensure that all the seats here are filled? We'll just have here and here. You can turn that one off. You can turn it off. Amazing. Amazing. Who knows where anointing is? Huh? If you didn't know anointing, okay. Praise God. Before we begin, you know, I'd just like to let me not say it. But you know, we need to. Are we together? We need to learn how to worship God. Praise God. Can we thank God for the choir? Amen. Amen. So, now, when you come to church, and especially this kind of church, the expectation is that you are trained into a new character. Because there's godly character. I guess listen to me. What did I say? Yeah, there's something called godly character. There's a way to behave in the presence of God. Earlier. You know, and part of what we do, a lot of that teaching will come from the Holy Spirit to you directly. So the Holy Spirit can tell you. How many of your times maybe you're praying, you're in church, you just feel like kneeling down? That's ever happened. Yeah. That's the Holy Spirit telling you what to do to worship God. You get? It's different from another person. Yeah, so if the Holy Spirit, if you're just in the presence of God and you just have a compulsion to lie on the floor, you have to lie on the floor. That's worship. If you look at your pastor that is standing up, you're not worshiping God. You know what I'm saying? So, a lot of that training about how to behave in the presence of God comes from the Holy Spirit himself. A lot of it also comes from we, your pastors. So, train you, tell you how to behave. And that's what I want to do now, in 1 minute. So, you have to bring your body when you're worshiping God. Are we together? Worshiping God has very little to do with the quality of the music. Praise God. What's the challenge? Huh? Okay. Very funny. What did I say? Worshiping God has very little to do with the quality of the music. Very little. Amen. Amen. If you're in prison, will you worship God? You should worship God, Abby. Yeah, you should sing praises, Abby. Uh-huh. If you find out that you have AIDS, should you worship God? You should worship God. So, worship God has very little to do with the environment, also your emotion at that point in time. You have to put your body in it. It's you that commands your soul and your body to do movements. Are we together? Are we together? So, while God will still give us more grace to have a world-class choir, that if they say, you know, I used to be in Redeem, so maybe doing convention, all the choirs from all the zones, they would do competition. And some come first, some come last, you know. While God will keep pouring more grace on our choir to come first at those kind of competitions. Say amen now.
Amen. Okay.
So while God will take us there, you just need to understand that that's not the reason why you are standing like wood during worship. Hallelujah. It's God you are worshiping. Huh? So it's not about the song being boring. There's no song that is boring. It's a lie. Get. It's you that will carry your body. Yeah, the one that will carry your body. Alright? So we need more energy. And even the choir people, they will feed off your energy. It's very demoralizing to be in front of people and they're just giving you straight face. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Alright, so are we going to change? Ah, okay, we'll see you next week. We'll see you next week. But I trust you. You are a very loving and obedient set of people. All right, so I'd just like to give Pastor Lalo all the thanks for this opportunity. You know, he's with us, and I keep telling you guys, Pastor Lalo is with us. He's with us. Is the only part of him that is not with us is his body. You know, but he's with us in spirit, online. You know, he's with us, and so. Have you guys been sending me text messages? Please send me text messages. Send him text message. Let him know that you, Seth, you are thinking of him. It's important. It's very important. Very, very important. Okay, so I'd just like to give Pastor Lalo these thanks. Thank you, sir. I do not take this for granted. And may God continually bless you for the teenagers. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for gathering these souls. I do not take it for granted. I thank you for bringing your children here to sit at your feet and learn. And ask, O Lord, that you shall cause a mighty change to happen today. In the name of Jesus. I ask, O Lord, for great grace in the name of Jesus. That your word shall come with power to change. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. All right, so let's go to. Before that, what we want to talk about today is I want to tell you guys how to live your best life. All right? Are we together? If you want me, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is it still cold? It's okay, Abby. See, we can go, Abby. This word. Habakkuk, that image, is on the laptop, Abby. So we see a brief picture today. When it's ready, I'll tell you to put it on the screen. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Ah, Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
You're ready? Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're ready? Shout hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Amen. So I want to tell you guys how to live your best life. In bracket, how to live full of grace. Praise God. Is there anyone here that doesn't have a Bible? Is there anyone that doesn't have a Bible? Abby, for months now. You said you have a Bible now. You used to. Okay, well, please, we need to get you a Bible this week. Any other person? You don't have a Bible? Come to the front. Come to the front. The kind of person, I don't want you to stay at the back. I want to see you. Who should not be here? Ebenezer, go. Come. I want to see you. What's your name? Eh? Joan, okay. Is it your first time? No. Okay, yeah, I know. I've seen your face before. All right. So, we're going to talk today about how to live your best life. Or in other words, how to live a life full of grace. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have your Bible now. You left it at home. How old are you? 10. Okay. How old are you? 9. Okay. Praise God. So we're going to talk about how to live a life full of grace, or in quote, how to live your best life, whichever one you can choose, whichever one. And the first thing is to let you know, let's go to Luke chapter 4, that Jesus is anointed for your good. You know, the power of God is going to come strongly into this service. Luke chapter 4, 18 to 19. Now, you know, the purpose of the anointing of God is for the good of men. Are we together? The reason why God anoints men, even starting from Jesus, is for the good of men. And the most precious, most expensive commodity, or the most valuable commodity on this earth, is the anointing. I guess you get that with me. Now, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. So if you are oppressed, what do you need? What? I'm not... People are just talking. I'm not hearing that. I'm not still not hearing anything. What are you people saying?
Jesus.
Okay. So if you are... more specifically, if you are oppressed, you need the anointing. Are we together? Now, the anointing cannot be, you know, Elias said that, you know, it might happen. You don't know how God can anoint people. It might happen that maybe the person that will become the anointed minister of singing in this church will still be singing with bad voice, but demons will be flying out. You get what I'm saying, right? Now, if they are pressing you at night, is there anybody that are pressing at night here? Yeah. Is anybody? Like, you can't wake up. For you to wake up. I'm serious. I'm saying something very serious. Is there anybody that they're pressing? It's all of you. They're not pressing you people at night. Okay. I'm serious. Raise your hand, though. Like, seriously. If we'll deal with it. And there's nothing to be ashamed of. They press everybody. You get what I'm saying? It's not sin. You get what I'm saying? It's not like I'm saying who fornicated. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's not sin. It's, they can press. So if they press, raise your hand. Let's cast out the devil. So now, if they are pressing you at night, you know, what's your favorite TV show? What's your favorite series? Do you have? Just tell us one. Tell us the one that is holy. Tell us one. None of them is holy. Ah, okay. Okay, so let's just say Tom and Jerry, at least. Everybody watches Tom and Jerry now. Okay. That one is children friendly, right? So now, name that oppressing you. Like, if you watch Tom and Jerry, you laugh a lot. It's very funny. You know, Pinky at the Brain or, you know, Game of Thrones. Those of you that are sliding between born again and not born again occasionally. Those are the kind of things you watch. Now, you know, if they're pressing you at night, no matter the entertainment value that you get, it won't stop the pressing. You get what I'm saying, right? If are you together with me? Are you together with me? If you are poor, you know, listening to Naira Marley or listening to Thames or anybody with sweet voice and stuff like that, it won't help you come out of poverty. I guess you get that with me. I guess you get that with me. Now, the only thing that can change and cause a change and a transformation in our lives, bring liberty to us, cause good to us, is the anointing. So that's why I said earlier that the most valuable thing on this earth right now is the anointing. It's the most valuable. Hallelujah. $1 million in your bank account can't stop them from pressing you. It's not like Satan would accept your payments or money. Hallelujah. Are you together? If your auntie is, you know, have you always realized, even from Nollywood, and it's still true, that most of the people sending wickedness to other people are poor people. You get what I'm saying, right? Like, maybe it's one auntie in the village, right? Now, you know, very funny thing. Now, you know, if you give the woman money, she'll still send you course. You get what I'm saying, right? Her issue is not money. Her issue is wickedness. Right? So, money, you can't beg Satan. How many of you have tried to beg Satan? Satan, please stop oppressing me. Huh? You know, we do that lots of times. The way we act, that's why some of us want to be pitied. Hallelujah. Because you think pity would change your situation. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? Like you think if I show pity, people will stop, people will have mercy on me. No. What you need is the anointing. And the most mind-blowing thing about the anointing is that it is free. Praise God. So the most valuable thing on the earth is free. And it's in excess. It has not finished. Now imagine all the Christians that there have been. You know, we say that there are like 1 billion Christians or something like that on the earth currently. Now, none of those Christians has ever gone to God and God has said the oil has finished. You get what I'm saying? Right? Or that the blood of Jesus Christ has finished. It has finished too. There's no, you know, you have to come for next batch. You know? Has it ever happened? It has never happened. Can you imagine that? That if 100,000 people now say, God, deliver me from captivity and bondage, all of them will be delivered. You get what I'm saying? Right? So it is free and it is in excess. Can we give God thanks for that? And that's why you don't need to be shocked that, you know, you don't need to be shocked, for instance, that he did pay school fees for the JRTM Summer Academy. You don't need to be shocked. It's not shocking. You get. How many of you understand what I'm saying? All right? You don't need to be shocked. You know, some people, if you do too much good to them, they'll begin to suspect that, these people, there's something, there's ulterior motive in this thing. Hallelujah. You guess what I'm saying? So you don't need to be shocked. It's for free. There's nothing. Some of you become millionaires for free. There's nothing that you won't pay money. You know, now if you want to become a millionaire, one of the ways you can become a millionaire in Nigeria is you pay money. You pay money to get a job at NNPC. Think maybe you pay like 500K. Right? Even though that one is still fake, they will give all the jobs to sons and daughters of politicians. But, you know, some people can still try, force their way to become millionaires. But you are going to become a, please say amen to this, you are going to become millionaires and billionaires.
Amen.
For free.
Amen.
You won't pay money.
Amen.
But there's something you pay, and we'll go there. It's not money, but there's something. We'll get there. So, it is for free. Hallelujah. Can we say it is for free?
It's for free.
Deliverance is for free.
Deliverance is for free.
Prosperity is free.
Prosperity is free.
Health is free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Intelligence is free.
Intelligence is free.
You know, there is the, you know, talking about inspiration, there is the intelligence that comes from the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Intelligence that comes from the Spirit. If there's anybody here that your grades are bad, keep reading your Bible. That's the solution. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Keep reading your Bible and do the course that you are passionate about. Hallelujah. So, it is free. Intelligence is free. You know, God upgrades the brain. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, God can upgrade your brain. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you believe what I'm talking about? Like, God can upgrade your brain. God can upgrade your brain. No, God has upgraded my brain. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you guys with me? And it is for free. There's nothing, no payments, no down payments, nothing. In fact, you are even the one that they are paying money into. You know, you are God's investment. Hallelujah. So, and this is how God created the world. You know, when God created the earth, he created everything. He set a garden. Prepared it, and he put Adam inside. So, on a practical sense, Adam did not walk to build that garden. Hallelujah. He just woke up and started eating fruit for free. Nothing, you know what I'm saying? Food, everything, you know, for free. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But even though all those things were for free, he still gave him work. But that's another issue. But God dwells in abundance. And I need you to think that way. Are you together with me? Think in abundance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Choose the good thing you get. God can never want you to have the bad thing. Amen.
Amen.
God can never want you to have the bad thing. God wants you to have the good thing. Amen. And you need to fellowship with this thing. Don't worry, we're getting there, but once this thing comes into your mind, in fact, you even be checking, you will stop accepting, if you buy food, you will stop accepting rubber meat. You know what I'm saying? You tell them, that's not, I want real meat. You know what I'm saying? Small you like this. You say, no. I don't want rubber meat. What's the name of rubber meat? What's the name? Sure. Okay. Because you get what I'm saying now. Some of you now, they would give you something that is the least. You just take it. You say, let me not make noise. No. No. You should be giving good things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 When it comes on you, you will dress differently. Okay. Not, I'm not saying that you start buying designer, but you still be buying your normal clothes, but you just want to dress differently. You get? The prophet of God cannot be wearing skirts above her knee. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Right? Praise God. I guess get out of me. Well, me shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. So it is for free. Now, for you to God wants you to dwell in grace. You know, God wants you to have largesse in life. Hallelujah. Now, for you to, the first thing that you need to understand is that, and this teaching is going to be very fundamental teaching to you. So I'll advise you to, I'll try and finish today, but if I can't finish, the point is never really to finish. The point is to get the impartation. But if I can't finish today, just listen to it again. It's not about talking, it's about the impartation. So you need to understand what is the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to understand what's the grace of God. You know? And the first thing you need to understand, before you even understand what is the grace of God, you need to understand what is the problem. You get? Because all this is I'm saying, it's not like that in everybody's life. You get what I'm saying? All these largesse, you will not be pressed at night, all these things I'm saying, right? It's not like that in everybody's life. And even some of you here, your lives are still not looking like God. Hallelujah. Lives are looking like something strange. All right? And first, you need to understand what is the... And also, some of you are looking very strange. Very strange, you know. Very, very strange. You know? Hallelujah. So, you first need to understand what is the problem of man. What is your problem? What is your problem? I was talking to someone the other day. The person is not here, but it's one of you. He's with you in spirit, but he's not here physically. I was talking to the person. I said, what is your problem in life? You know, tell me your problem in life. You know, very funny question, Abby. Tell me your problem. The person started talking about how, oh, my mother, my dad, we are not together, and, you know, and they didn't treat me when I was good, when I was young. Those kind of stories, which are true stories, right? But I thought, I said, no, that's not your problem in life. That's not your problem in life. Hallelujah. And I told her a problem in life. Now, your problem, at times, you know, when they say, what is your problem? You look at your immediate situation. So you say, my problem is Nigeria, you know? My problem is my parents. If only my dad had more money. Hallelujah. You don't need to raise your hand, but how many, because it's an insult to your parents, but how many of you honestly wish your dad had more money? Don't raise your hand, though. Right? Now, many people think they have many problems. Praise God. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? Many people think they have many problems. You know, some people, they think their problem is that they've not bought shoe. You've not bought. And see, let me tell you something. It's not, I'm not mocking you. Adults have these same problems too. You know what I'm saying? Being an adult, I discovered a little while ago that people forget that they are 65, 52, people are still their secondary school version. You know what I'm saying? That person that graduated from secondary school, that's the same person. The person is just that person with children. You get what I'm saying? That's the only difference. But people don't really mature like that. That's why the major wahala of most people's life, almost all human beings, is secondary school reunion. You get what I'm saying? It's a major problem. You get what I'm saying? Secondary school, it throws up lots of emotions. You know, in fact, even the way they talk, people start talking, oh, yeah, who was your crush? Ah, man. People don't really live that phase of life. I'm telling you the truth. They're still just that same person. Hallelujah. But that's not your portion. Say amen. Say amen. All right. So many people, we see our problem. You know, when God went to meet Adam and said, what did you do? He says, the woman that he gave me. You know? Can you imagine? He was blaming his wife. You know, the first sign that man was, okay, the second, the first one is that he went to go and hide. Oh, no, the third. He went to go and hide. The second one is that he went to go and sew clothes or leaf. The third thing, he blamed his wife. Yeah, he said, no, he's my wife, you know. Hallelujah. So we like to say that many things are a problem. But man has only one problem. The reason why man is in this sorry state, hallelujah, the reason why man is in this sorry state is one thing, and that's sin. Hallelujah. Now, in the book of Proverbs 14 to 34, I'm counting. Do you know the scripture? Don't lie. Do you know the scripture? I'm calling. I said Proverbs 14, verse 34. Are you listening? Please come on, come on, come on. Let's come on, come on. Come, 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 come on, listen, come on, listen. Have a quick change. Let's clap for Fisa. It's not punishment, it's upgrading. I'm serious, it's upgrading. You need to listen. The important thing is to listen. So I'm upgrading you. So come and sit. No, come enter. No, go to that. Go to the middle. Hallelujah. Habakkuk, don't fall my hand though. Because the hopes of this service are on you. All right. 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation. And I mean it, I'm upgrading you. Fisaya, I'm not joking. I'm upgrading you. You need to listen. Listening is more important. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
What exalts a nation? But sin is a reproach to any people. Hallelujah. Who knows what is meant by reproach? Who knows what is meant by reproach? Huh? Maybe you can share it in NLT or something. Actually, just keep it on NLT because I think we'll be reading NLT. I think that's to be more. Do you know what reproach means? Do you know what reproach means? Reproach. Godliness makes a nation great, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Hallelujah. Now, what is causing the lack of... Now, you know grace... let's not get there. Let's not start playing all those games. I want to say grace and disgrace, all those kind of things, you know. But what is causing embarrassment? What is causing... I don't even like using that word, low self-esteem. The word is doing me somehow. But what is causing embarrassment, disgrace? You know, falling your hand. Shame, yeah, you know? What is causing situations that you don't like? Is sin. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Please stay with me, because I want to teach you something very fundamental to your Christianity. I'm telling you that the problem of your life is sin. Amen. Godliness makes a nation great. Now, this nation, It's nation as per Nigeria. It's also nation as per men, because men are nations. I don't want to explain that. But every man has in him a nation. But what makes you disgraced is sin. Sin is the thing that disgraces you. Hallelujah. Amen. Your shoe cutting is not a disgrace. Your slippers cutting is not a disgrace. Your slippers cut. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Let's get out of me. Your dress being old is not a disgrace. What is a disgrace is sin. Hallelujah. What is bringing reproach, right, is sin. This is how God sees it, though. God is saying that if you are godly, you'll be great. Are we together? But if there is sin in your life, amen. If the power of sin is at work in your life, it will bring disgrace. Are we together? It will bring disgrace directly, as per you'll be doing wrong things that will be bringing disgrace. Also, spiritually, demons would have a few days in your life. Are we together? Now, this is the first thing you need to understand, because we'll go there, but the very first need or the very first thing that grace does is that grace deals with sin. But before we go there, there are kind of like, imagine sin is a cloth, maybe like a material, right? There are two things that make up that material. There's lust and pride. All sin is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Are we together? Now, those are like two things, lust and pride. But there are four types of material you can sew with those two things. Or four types of clothes you can sew from that two material that you combine together. The first is the nature of sin. Praise God. Let's go to Psalms 51 verse 5, still staying in NLT. If I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. So, the very first dimension, if you want to call it that, of sin is the nature of sin. Everybody is born with it. Hallelujah. And this is dealt with when you get born again. Amen. The second is iniquity. Let's go to Hosea 4:8. You guys don't go. Let the guys go. Well, let's go to Acts 8:14-23. Or just Acts 8. Now, iniquity is the working of vanity in the heart. A very good way to explain it is, you know those evil thoughts and machinations of the heart? You know, maybe, you know that thing that all of you have noticed it, some of you also partake in it, where maybe somebody is working, maybe your classmate is working. You know that girl that is doing shakara for everybody? Then, she should not cut. Right? Everyone now start laughing at her. Like, happiness will rise. You know? You guys understand? That's what I'm talking about now. That's iniquity. It's the evil machinations of the heart. It's like the heart working evil. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, how many of you think of being like Ronaldo or Messi? Like, you imagine, like, if I could just play ball, I'll play for Juventus, I'll play for Real Madrid, I'll play for Man U, you know. How many of you imagine you daydream of being like a superstar or something like that? Or maybe you think that, if I'm singing like this, I'll just be singing to the whole world, you know. Everybody will be playing my music, my jams, you know. I'll be driving BMW. How many of you imagine those kind of things? Those kind of things. Now, don't laugh, but that's high-level iniquity. Advanced stage. Advanced stage. Now, it sounds so innocent, but that thing that's the thing that will never make you pursue God. You get what I'm saying? Now, you see, if you were creative, for now you're in church. You know, I'm saying for now because you can always change. You see, if you're creative, for instance, now you do music and your image of success is whiskey. Yeah, that's when you say successful musician. You call names of successful musician, whiskey, Davido. You know, if that's your image, you will always be at risk of being corrupted. Always be at risk. Because that image in your heart is iniquity, it's wrong, it's vain, it's not from God. You are imagining a vain thing, or an evil thing. Hallelujah. And as long as that image is in your heart, it doesn't matter if you saw an angel in the morning. Maybe you saw an angel at 10 a.m. He came to the door, this is the destiny of your life. They showed you the thing with flat screen TV. They showed you. Yeah? By 1 p.m., if you get email from Universal Music Group that they are really giving you contracts, you will be tempted. You will be tempted. You won't say, I've gone past this level. No, you won't say it. You'll be like, maybe this is what the angel was talking about, though. You know? And let me go now. I'll still sing Jesus now. It's not to put Jesus in the song. No. Okay. They don't want Jesus, Abby. I'll put God. Baba God, do it for me. And everybody's singing now. You always be close to corruption. You get what I'm saying? If there's iniquity in your heart. And so that is the second of, I'm not listening in any particular order, but that's the other manifestation of sin, iniquity in the heart. Are we together? The third is a carnal mind. In Galatians, what is it in Galatians? In Galatians 8, verse 7 or something like that. A carnal mind is, to be carnal minded is death. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God. Hallelujah. The carnal mind is enmity against God. You know, what I'm talking about is the thinking pattern. Hallelujah. So with a carnal mind, your mind will always be thinking, opposing God. Then the fourth is what I will call the members of sin. I'm talking about your body. Your body walking sin. That's not the fornication, lying, stealing that we know. Thank you.
Praise God. Okay. So that's the... Where's Wally? He stepped outside. Thank you. Try and confirm if we're still streaming. Thank you. So, so that's the... What's the last one? No, not carnal mind. I'm talking about... Yeah, members of sin. Members of sin. There's a place in Corinthians. Let's look at Colossians 3:5. Same NLT. Hallelujah. Are you guys following me? You guys follow me? Please follow me. Follow me. All right? So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Hallelujah. So this is the normal, when you say sin, this is the one that everybody knows. Bad, bad things. But that one of the body is even good, sir, because many people, at least if you work on God for that, it's good. But many people are good at that, but are worse on iniquity, worse on carnal mindedness. Hallelujah. You know, for instance, a couple of weeks ago, when Pastor Lalo was talking about the things that the Lord hates, and and you know, one of the reasons why he was teaching us those things is not just so that we can know that, oh, the Lord hates this thing, let me not do it. No. It's so that we too can hate it. Because if you don't hate what the Lord hates, you are his enemy. You can't be, you see, with God, you can't be, he's not that kind of person, you can't be on defense. Hallelujah. And if you want to be, just take this as a secret in life. If you want to be, if you want to rise above, thank you. If you want to rise above your peers, hate worldliness. Hate it. Like generate an emotion of hate to worldliness. So whenever you see other girls with their boyfriends, like generate an emotion of hate. Not to them, but also to that sin. Hallelujah. Don't say, well, it's them. Me, I'm here. No, you. When you love righteousness and hate iniquity, they anoint you with the oil above your fellows. That's what happens. You then have a legitimacy to rise above them in the eyes of God. Because God is always thinking about saving people. So to save people, he has to call men. You get what I'm saying? So he will call men, select a man, invest in him, then use him to save people. So the man that's for you to be selected, your emotion has to be above them. You get what I'm saying? You can't agree with them in your heart. Praise God. That's why you can't like Bobrisky. You can't laugh at it. If you laugh at it, you hold your... See, I'm teaching you something serious. You get what I'm saying? I don't laugh at any skit that is making fun of Christianity. You get what I'm saying? If Sabino's, if once I just see the skits that they are wearing church, I skip it. It's not comedy. The Holy Spirit is not a joke. You get what I'm saying? Right? I hate making fun of the Holy Ghost. You get what I'm saying? Right? So you can't like Bobrisky. You have to hate gay. Are you together with me? Are you together with me? If not, the reproach of sin will still be on your life. Now, this is why the Lord says that you need to love him. Because, okay, we've dealt with nature of sin. Nature of sin is God that deals with that one. Once you become born again, he will deal with the nature of sin. But the other three is for you to deal with it. Now, this is why he would then say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. You get what I'm saying? So, God is meant to ravage you. You are meant to allow him to have total dominance over you in your heart so that you will only be imagining. You know, you are meant to decide what you should think about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're meant to decide what you think about. So that's why Paul say, whatever is good, whatever is just, think on these things. So me now, I have to be thinking about crusade. I have to be thinking about saved souls. That's my destiny. Is the way I'm thinking. Okay. So you love the Lord with all your heart. Whenever something is happening, you know, like that example I gave, that that something is happening, everybody's laughing at the person.
as you just check your heart, laughing at a person, you just you bring your heart back and say, Lord, no, I'm sorry, I'm not doing this. You bring your heart back. Don't allow it go with them. Are we together? You love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, in your mind. You think right. And you love the Lord with all your strength. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, this is the problem that men have. And that's why in Ephesians 2, you can't do this. Ephesians 2 verse 8, you can't. Now, what I'm saying, how many of you see that what I'm saying is very difficult to do? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, what I'm telling you to do now, how many of you think it's difficult to do it? You think it's easy to do it? Do you think it's easy to do it? Not really. Good. Now, this is the reason why you need grace. So this is the introduction of grace. This is why grace came. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. So the salvation, what we call salvation, which is delivering you from sin, is by grace. This is the reason for grace. To deliver you from sin. Are we together? Are you guys with me? So, you can't do it by yourself. If you struggle, you won't do it. You can't do it. You can't change yourself. Amen? Are we together? You can't change yourself. And so, God gives you grace, or God introduces grace. In Ephesians 1, verse 7, I need to run because I need to show something. Anyway, we're almost done. But I just need to show something. In Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood. Also, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. So, it is by grace that we have access to salvation. That is our first contact with grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, remember that the issue that you have is sin. Are we together? The issue that you have is sin. And the very first thing that grace came to do is to take away that sin. Now, in Titus 2, verse 11, we see, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. 12. Isaiah, are you with me? And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. So, what is instructing us to turn? Go to verse 11. Or read, put verse 11 and 12 together. All right? For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. Are we together?
Yes,
and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful, blah, blah, blah. Now, who or what is doing the instruction? The grace. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, not only will the grace come upon you and save you, the grace will then instruct you on how to turn away from godless living and sinful pleasures. So, the real work of grace is to work righteousness in you. Are we together? So, grace does not cover sin. Grace expunges sin. You guys understand what I'm saying about? So grace is not to cover your sin. No. Your sin doesn't need to be called. Your sin needs to be taken away. That will always be a reproach. But the grace will come upon you because you can't do it by yourself. Bring salvation and then begin to teach you on how to take away sin. It will instruct you to turn away from godless living. You know what I'm saying? So, the point of grace, please listen to what I'm saying. The point of grace is to live above sin. Please. Grace is never a substitute. You know, you can't say, I'm sinning. It doesn't matter. No, it's a reproach. It's a disgrace. But what God wants to do with grace is that he wants to use it, he wants you to access it, and he wants you to live above sin. And so if you are not living above sin, you are not in grace. Are we together? You get what I'm saying? The point is sin. That's why in Hebrews 12, verse 5, or 15, 12 verse 15, can we look at KJV? Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Are we together? Are we together? So you can fall short of grace. In NKJV, it says you can fall short of grace. Meaning that you can fall short of the expectation of God over your life. And so for you to live your best life, God needs to teach you by grace how to turn away from ungodliness. That's all. Remember I told you that the most powerful or the most valuable content on the earth is free. What I'm saying is that money, wife, career, job, millions, everything good you know is that you allow God to teach you how to turn away from sin. Yes, that's what I'm saying. God telling you to stop lying is connected to millions. That's what I'm saying. You see, the thing is so simple and so free that people don't like it. If I came and said that the way to become rich is to do 15,000 things, people would like that one. That's what people like. In fact, if I ever told you, if I told you now that the way to get anointing for prosperity, bring 1 million naira, you that don't have money, you will find that 1 million naira and bring it. You will find it and bring it. That's why fake men of God are always in business. So, but this simple one, stop sinning. By the grace of God, is that simple? It's really that simple. So the problem of your life is a very simple solution. It's a very simple solution. You know, I don't know, maybe you want to be vacationing in the Bahamas, I don't know. But the way from where you are now in Aguleba, Abi, where are you? Eh? Ogba. Okay, the way you are now in Ogba now, that will be seeing you on Instagram in Maldives. What's that place in Greece, Santorini, Abi? It's Santorini, Abi, where people are taking pictures. The way now that God will carry you there is if you start coming early to church. Yeah, it's connected. Hallelujah. It's connected. As the Spirit of God teaches you to turn away from ungodliness, then your life begins to become beautified. You begin to have favor. Praise God. You understand what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? Simple, Abby? Okay. Now, what is the challenge? Quickly, as we close. What is the challenge? Please, show that picture. Show that picture. when you get home, you can read 2 Peter 3:14-18. There's a one in there, which is just that many people don't understand grace and they just talk rubbish. But anybody that trivializes sin is your enemy. Hallelujah. There's nobody living in sin that is living a good life. It's not possible. Me, I've lived in sin before, so I understand what is happening. Demons will be oppressing, especially if you are now doing what I'm doing. Hey, God. Ha! If you are doing what I'm doing and you are living in sin, in your dream, oh my God. Because, well, let's move on. So there's nobody living in sin that is living a good life. It's not, forget car. Stop. I'm talking about grace. I'm not talking about car. Forget car. Forget giftings. Forget talents. I'm telling you that there's nobody living in sin that is living a good life. Not one person. You get? Not one person. So, now, this thing is manna. How many of you know manna? You've heard of manna. Manna from the Bible. Yeah, this is manna. This is white coriander seed. Oh, this is not manna. This is, looks like manna. Let's go to Exodus 16:31. No, don't leave this image, but go there in your Bibles. Now, the very first way to receive grace in like 5 minutes. There are many ways. I know I said this teaching, you can't finish it. And it's not about finishing. It's not about finishing. It's just about the impartation. I believe you guys are getting imparted. you know, for those of you that might probably covet spiritual coatings, you might be disappointed, but I'm sorry. There's nothing, this is a very powerful service. you know, what I mean, do you know what I mean? Those of you that are coveting, maybe those of you that are expecting, there's someone there, come, you know, I'm sorry, but this is a very powerful service. Now, in Exodus, where is that? 16:31. Right, now let's read. What does it say? Hallelujah. Amen. So, now, you see, when people are reading your Bible, and this is not manna, this is white coriander seed. So they say it was like. So this is just a description. It's just like this. Now, how many of you, you know manna is the food of angels? Now, how many of you imagine that the food of angels would be like this? What were you expecting? Ice cream and chicken, are we? Okay. So, let's go to Numbers. Numbers chapter. You're not the only one that was disappointed, actually. Even the children of Israel were disappointed. Let's go to Numbers 11. I must finish this message. Well, it is part of this message, so I'm rushing. Numbers 4. 11, sorry. Numbers 11. Now, let's show it on the screen. We can show it on the screen. NKJV. Numbers 11. 4. Numbers 11, 4. Now, the mixed multitude who are among them yielded to intense craving. Now, you see, you have to understand the situation of the children of Israel. That initially they didn't have food in the desert and they cried out to God for food. And God gave them that thing. Eh? Now, that food is not... they ate that thing for 40 years ago. That's what they were eating. Now, even you say, imagine eating biscuit and granules every day for 40 years. Every day for 40 years, eating biscuit and granules. They can become frustrated now. When you now know that there's food everywhere now, but it's biscuit and granules. So, in this thing, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. Do you understand what that means? They wanted food. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? Verse 5. We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt. They now start talking about everything. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. 6. But now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Do you understand? You guys understand, Abby? That's the same way you were expecting that the food of angels would be jollof rice and chicken. One kind of jollof rice that, it can cure malaria. It can cure. When God gave them food, he gave them one seedly thing like that. And he was feeding them that thing. And he started getting frustrated that this thing is killing us. It's killing us. Hallelujah. Now, what does that mean? What is it? When is it the food of God is not meant to satisfy your stomach, it is meant to cleanse your soul. Hallelujah. You see, that manna, God gave them that thing so that when they are eating it, they'll be sober. That soberness is the point. That our whole being is dried up is the point. Because you people need to become godly people. The food you are eating is making you weak. So, the food that God gives is not meant to make you... I won't say happy, but it's not meant to please. It's not meant to please your flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you know, even with this food that they were eating, they did not fall sick. You understand what I'm saying, right? So their body was sustained. In fact, in a supernatural way, that they did not sew new clothes. As they were growing, their clothes was growing with them. All of them wore the same clothes from beginning of the journey to the end of the journey. They didn't change it. It didn't tear. You know what I'm saying? Right? The body was going. They didn't get sick. They were healthy. You know, while they were eating this manna, they were fighting battle. Means that this manna was like, it's boring to taste, but the effects like on the yam. You know what I'm saying? You can fight real battle. You know what I'm saying? Right? So, the same way the word of God, how many of you really feel this way when you are reading your Bible? Raise your hand. Like, this Bible. This Bible. What? Especially that Matthew 1. You know that Matthew 1 where they are listing the genealogy of Jesus? 14 generations from Adam to another 14 to... I mean, you'll be reading Bible, you'll be sleeping. Okay. Now, you see, many people, now you see, what God really wants to do is that actually your taste will be changed. Because you see, this manna, some people are eating it happily. You have people like Moses, Caleb, Joshua, these kind of guys, right? Now, what the manna will do is that if you take it in that sober state, and if you receive it, it will begin to change your appetite to the point that you then begin to become happy eating it. You get the same way that Karina give you vegetarian diet. In the first 2 months, you feel like dying. But eventually, you just, well, no be cucumber, I'm going to chop them. You get, right? Now, once it does that, it then begins to generate power on the inside. But many people, in their first encounter with the Word of God, because it doesn't satisfy. The reason why you are reading your Bible and sleeping is because your soul wants to watch Netflix. That's what your soul wants. How many of you understand what I'm saying? What your soul wants is being awake by 1 a.m., chatting on Instagram and TikTok. That's what your soul wants. And so you are not introducing another food that is purposely not made to be sweet. That's the point of it. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? So, the point of the food is to restore your soul, is to make you come under the authority of God, is the soberness of it, right? But many people stop at this thing, and guess what they do? They go and dance in church. Hallelujah. Many people stop that process. They now say, oh yeah, the preacher that will be telling me it is well with me, the church that they will be doing midnight dancing till morning, the one that they will be doing drama club, that everybody just come and dance, you know? You get what I'm saying? The one that will allow me to have boyfriend, the one that will do this, come on, my soul, this word of God is too dry. It's too dry. I want fish. Hallelujah. Let's read it again. Verse 5. We remember the fish. This is bondage, yo. People are slaves. But you remember the fish, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, I don't know what that is, the onions, the garlic. Now we have this manna. And that's rebellion. You see, and that's why not wanting to read the Bible is rebellion. Hallelujah. In closing, not wanting to read your Bible is rebellion. This is what you are doing. It's the same thing. Nobody's doing anything new in this life. Everything everybody's doing is what has happened before. Please wake up. He's about to fall down. Wake him up. He's about to fall down. Wake him up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So do you see yourself? Do you see yourself? See, but I need to push on. You need to eat that food. You need to eat it. And you know, if you had time, I would have shown you that this Christianity is not about feeling happy. I know you want to feel happy, but sometimes you feel sad. That's why as this service like this is come, I'm happy. You see me, I'm happy. I'm saying the power of God is there. Because me, I'm not, I don't need you to, you can be sober like this. You can go home. Oh Lord, I'm so sorry. You know, it's fine. It's God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not every time he's happy. You know? You know, sometimes your pastor will correct you, be angry. Hallelujah. Amen. Why is he correcting me? Because you are bound in iniquity. Your heart is evil. That's why it's correcting you. That's why it's correcting you. Your heart is evil. Your heart is evil. And they don't correct. I'm learning that thing. God is teaching me that thing. You have to correct Stanley. I don't correct. That's what I'm talking to. I don't correct with joke. You understand? I will talk to you directly because we want you to... Amen. 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 And so, let me tell you something. If you can learn how to eat this food of the Word of God, endure it. Endure sound doctrine. You know? Endure listening to Deeper Life message. Right now, my phone is on Deeper Life message. I'm listening to Pastor Kumi. You know? Do you know what that man teach? The first message was, you people that are keeping your hair, you love it more than you love God. That was the first message. I was just like, hey. Am I a sinner? You know, and we'll leave all those people, we'll leave Pastor Adeboye, we're going to be doing the ones that will allow you to fornicate. You know, and just flow, just come. Flow is grace. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But that's the one that will, if you endure it and you allow yourself to be under the authority of God, that's the first. What I really wanted to talk about was the authority of God. But this one is the first way to be under the authority of God. It's to be under the authority of His word. Yeah, it's to eat the food. Yeah, what God wants you to do is to eat the food. Right? So as you eat the food, you come under His authority. And then when you are under His authority, He beautifies your life. Amen. When you're under His authority, when you do what He tells you to do. Hallelujah. Amen. He beautifies your life. It's Him that beautifies your life. It's not like you will. It's not your intelligence. It's not your classiness. It's not your. He's the one that beautifies your life. When you come under His authority, when He tells you what to wear. Hallelujah. Amen. You can tell the intimacy of a lady with the Holy Spirit based on what she wears. Are you together with me? You get what I'm saying? Some of it, they have to tell you, but mostly, at times, as you begin to become more intimate with God, you yourself, it comes on you. That's when you are God's wife. You know, it comes on you. You dress to glorify God. This thing that I'm wearing now is to glorify God. Yeah, the rapper chain that I was talking about earlier, that one will not glorify God. That one will glorify myself. You know what I'm saying? Right? So I'm not dressing to please you. I'm not dressing to appeal to the youth. No. I'm dressing to glorify God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Father, can we bow our heads, please? Father, we ask, O Lord, that you shall receive us. Amen. We ask, O Lord, that we shall. Lord, we make a commitment, Lord, to abide under your authority. Amen. We make a commitment, Lord, to eat your food. Amen. For we know that despite it being tough at times, despite it being not easily understandable, we know that this food that you have prepared for us is out of your goodness and kindness. And we receive your food, Father. We subject ourselves to the authority of your word. For we know that you shall grant us great grace that way. Heal our hearts of all iniquity. Heal our hearts of all unrighteousness. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Heavenly Father, by the power of your word, I command every demonic operation in everyone's life here to cease now. Every satanic operation in our lineage, in our lives, by the blood, dries up. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.